Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
I want to welcome you today to the first lesson in the Spiritual Warfare course. We're going to be dealing with chapter number one, which is entitled The Invisible War. The objectives of this particular lesson are this. Upon completion of this chapter, you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. You're going to be able to demonstrate the understanding of the natural and spiritual realms. You'll be able to define the word king, define the word kingdom, identify the two spiritual kingdoms. You're going to be able to determine to which kingdom you belong. You'll be able to identify the spiritual forces of good, identify the spiritual forces of evil, and to explain what is meant by spiritual warfare. You're also going to be able to identify the reason for the invisible war and identify the basic principle of understanding spiritual warfare. Our key verse today is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, which states this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers and the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." Introduction. As you learned in the introduction to this course, which you will be able to read in your book, there's a great war being waged in the world today. It's not a conflict between nations and tribes or government leaders. It is not a rebellion or a coup. It is an invisible battle taking place in the spirit world. This chapter introduces the invisible war in which every believer is engaged. It is a war where no one wears a uniform, but where everyone is a target. The historical and prophetical record of this war is contained in God's Word, the Bible. The natural and spiritual realms. To understand this invisible war, you must first understand the natural and spiritual worlds. Man exists in two worlds, the natural world and the spiritual world. The natural world is that which can be seen, felt, touched, heard, or tasted. It is tangible and visible. The country, nation, city, or village in which you live in are part of the natural world. You are a resident in a natural kingdom located in one of the visible continents of the world. You can see the people who are part of your environment. You can communicate with them. You can experience the sights and sounds and smells around you. But there's another world in which you live. That world is a spiritual world. You cannot see it with your physical eyes, but it's just as real as the natural world in which you live. Paul speaks of this division of the natural and spiritual in 1 Corinthians 15:40. He says there's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. So all men have a natural body which lives in the natural world, but man is also a spiritual being with an eternal soul and spirit. Man is body, soul, and spirit. Your spiritual being, your soul, and spirit are part of the spiritual world, just as your natural body is a part of the natural world. Spiritual discernment. Because spiritual warfare is just that, spiritual, it must be understood with a spiritual mind. In our natural sinful state, we do not understand spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." It is necessary to use spiritual discernment to understand spiritual things. Perhaps one of the best examples of natural spiritual discernment is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 6. It records a story of a natural battle in which troops of the enemy nation of Syria had surrounded a small town called Dothan, where the prophet Elisha was staying. When Elisha's servant Gehazi saw the great host of the enemy, he became fearful, and Elisha prayed that God would open Gehazi's eyes so that he would see the angelic host surrounding and protecting them. On this occasion, God actually opened the natural eyes of Gehazi and allowed him to visibly see the superior forces of God aligned for battle. So the story of this battle in Dothan is similar to present spiritual conditions in the church. There are some like Elijah who see clearly into the realm of the spirit. They know there's a conflict occurring, have identified the enemy, and recognize the greater forces of God that assure victory. There are many others like Gehazi who, with a little encouragement, will be able to open their spiritual eyes and no longer be fearful of and defeated by the enemy. But sadly, there are many people who, like those in the city of Dothan, are spiritually sleeping. They do not even know the enemy has surrounded them and is poised for attack. Two spiritual kingdoms. Within the natural and spiritual realms of which we are speaking, there exist separate kingdoms which are ruled by natural and spiritual leaders. So first off, you have natural kingdoms. So all men living in a natural kingdom of this world, they live in a city or a village which is part of a nation. That nation is a kingdom of the world. A natural kingdom is a territory or people over which the actual king or political ruler is the sovereign ruler. The Bible speaks of these natural kingdoms as kingdoms of the world. The kingdoms of the world have come under the power and influence of Satan. In Matthew 4:8-9, it says, "Again, the devil taketh him, Jesus, up unto exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glories of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if you will fall down and worship me." So John 5:19 sadly reminds us that the whole world is under the influence of the evil one. Spiritual kingdoms. In addition to the natural kingdoms of this world, there are two spiritual kingdoms, the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. Every person alive is a resident of one of these two kingdoms. The kingdom of Satan consists of Satan, spiritual beings called demons, and all men who live in sin, rebellion, and rebellion to God's word. These, plus the world and the flesh, are the spiritual forces of evil at work in the world today. The kingdom of God consists of God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and spiritual beings called angels, and all men who live in righteous obedience to God's word. These are the spiritual forces of good. The kingdom of God is not a denominational church. Denominations are man-made organizations of groups of churches. They've been established for practical purposes of organization and administration. Denominations are major church organizations like Baptist, Assembly of God, Methodist, Lutherans, etc. The Bible speaks of the true church, which is not a denomination or religious organization. The true church is composed of all those who have become residents of the kingdom of God. At the present time in the natural world, the kingdom of God exists individually within each man, woman, boy, or girl who has made Jesus king of their lives. It exists communally in the true church and wherever people make this world the kind of world God wants it to be. In the future, there will be actual visible manifestation of God's kingdom. The invisible war. The invisible spiritual war is a battle which involves all men and women because the kingdom of Satan is a spiritual kingdom. We find in Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." Spiritual warfare is not a natural battle between flesh and blood. It's not a battle of man against man. It is not a visible battle. It's an invisible struggle in the spirit world. It is a battle within and around man. It is not a visible war, because spirits are involved, and we will learn in Luke 24:39 that a spirit does not have flesh and bones. Spiritual warfare is multidimensional, which means it is fought in different dimensions. It is, one, a social battle between the believer and the world, according to John 15:18-27. Two, it's a personal battle between flesh and the spirit, according to Galatians 5:16-26. And three, it's a supernatural battle between believers and evil spiritual powers, according to Ephesians 6:10-27. So every person alive is engaged in this battle. whether he realizes or not, there is no neutral ground. Unbelievers are in bondage to evil and have been taken captive by enemy forces, and they are victims of the war. Believers have been freed from the enemy through Jesus Christ and are victors, but they are still engaged in the war. The key verse of this chapter indicates that we, all believers, wrestle against spiritual forces. Wrestling involves close personal contact. No one is exempt from this battle. No one can view it from a distance. You're in the midst of a conflict, whether you acknowledge it or not. If you believe it will get better, you're wrong. The Christian warfare never ceases. Where the battle rages, this invisible war is being waged on earth. John 10:10 says, "The thief," who's referring to Satan, "cometh on the earth, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." So Satan fights to maintain control of the kingdoms of this world. He does not want them to come under God's authority. The battle also rages within the hearts, minds, and souls of men and women. Satan blinds the minds of unbelievers and attacks believers in the areas of worship, the word, their daily walk, and their work for God. How the battle started. The invisible war started in heaven with an angel named Lucifer, who was originally a beautiful angel created by God and was part of the kingdom of God. Lucifer decided he wanted to take over God's kingdom, and you can read about this rebellion in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 17, and also in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 12 through 19. You will study about this in detail later in the course. A group of angels joined Lucifer, who is now called Satan, in this rebellion. Lucifer and the rebellious angels were cast out of heaven by God, and they formed their own kingdom on earth. Revelation 12:9 says, "And there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon Satan, and the dragon fought and his angels." That's Revelation 12:7. And then in 12:9 it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So Lucifer became known as Satan, and the angels which followed him in rebellion as demons. Demon spirits can enter, torment, control, and use humans who belong to Satan's kingdom. They motivate evil acts which are done by men and women. Satan directs his demons in their evil activities, and he combines these powerful forces with the world and the flesh and to war against mankind. Reasons behind the conflict. Man was originally created in the image of God and for the glory of God, according to Genesis chapter 2. The invisible war against man started with the first temptation in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3. Satan caused Adam and Eve to sin, and this resulted in all men inheriting the basic sin nature and committing individual acts of sin due to this nature. Wherefore, as one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned, according to Romans 5:12. It has also resulted in an invisible war between man and the forces of evil. According to Genesis 3:15, it says, "And I will put enmity between thee," or Satan, "and the woman," which would represent mankind, "and between thy seed," which would represent the forces of evil, "and her seed," which is the forces of good, represented by the Lord Jesus Christ. So because of sin, man was separated from God and condemned to death. But God so loved man so much that he made a special plan to save him from sin. John 3:16, verse 17, which you're so familiar with, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So, through belief in Jesus, confession, and repentance from sin, men and women can be released from the power of the enemy. The death and resurrection of Jesus not only resulted in salvation from sin, but it also defeated the enemy, Satan. In 1 John 3:8, it says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." But you might ask, so if Satan is defeated, why does this war still rage? Following any war, there are always pockets of enemy resistance, rebellious troops that will not give up until forced to do so. Although Jesus defeated Satan, we are living in territory which is still occupied by enemy resistance forces. Understanding spiritual warfare strategies gives us the ability to deal with these evil powers. Satan is trying to keep men captive in sin. Through deceptive methods, he is enticing men and women to temporary lusts of sinful living, his aim for the affections of the soul and the spirit which rightfully belong to God. John 10:10 again says, "The thief," or Satan, "cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." Satan still wants to be the supreme ruler. He is waging an intense battle for the heart, mind, soul, and spirit of man. His strategies are directed at God, his plan, and his people, and the battle will continue until the great final conflict, which you will study in the last chapter of this course. The meaning of spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is the analysis and an active participation in the visible spiritual world. It includes study of the opposing forces of good and evil, the strategies of Satan, and spiritual strategies for overcoming the enemy. Spiritual warfare is more than a mere analysis of spiritual principles. It includes active participation in warfare by application of these strategies in life and ministry. One of the most effective strategies of Satan is keeping believers ignorant of his devices. Paul said that it's important to know Satan's strategies. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says, "Lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." So we should learn all we can about Satan's strategies of attack. We must also understand the scriptural basis of victory over Satan and the forces of evil. We are called to an intelligent combat. Basic to understanding of the spiritual warfare is this key principle. You must recognize that all battles of life, whether physical or spiritual, emotional, mental, financial, or with human personalities, are only outward manifestations of a spiritual cause. Although in the natural world problems may seem to occur through the circumstances of life, the basis of these natural battles is in the spirit world. You might want to read the story in Job chapters 1 and 2, which confirm this principle. So we've tried to correct the evils of this world through education and legislation and improved environment. It's not worked because the visible evils of this world are the results of an underlying spiritual cause, and they cannot be corrected by natural means. So we want to ask ourselves this question: to which kingdom do you belong? So in the natural world, a king is the sovereign ruler of the kingdom. All the territory and the people in the kingdom belong to him, and he has power of life and death over his subjects. The same is true of the spiritual kingdom. You're either part of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan, and either God or Satan has power over your life. One of the parables told by Jesus illustrates that all men are either part of the kingdom of Satan or the kingdom of God. And Jesus compared the world to a field. The good seed in the field were children of the kingdom of God, and the bad seed, which resulted in the growth of tares or weeds, were the children of the wicked one. We find that in Matthew chapter 13, verse 38. It says, the field is the world, the good seeds are the children of the kingdom, and the tares are the children of the wicked one. So people enter the kingdom of Satan through natural birth. The Bible teaches us that all men are born in sin, and this means they have a basic sin nature, or the seed of sin within their natural inclination to do evil. Psalms 51:5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And in Romans 5:12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and by the sin, and so death passed unto all men, for all have sinned." And Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So because we are born with the basic sin nature, We all have at one time been part of the kingdom of Satan. All who remain sinners remain a part of the kingdom of Satan. The whole message of God's written word, the Holy Bible, is to appeal to man to move from this evil kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. Men are born in the kingdom of Satan through natural birth. They must be reborn into the kingdom of God through spiritual birth. Entrance to the kingdom of God is by the new birth experience explained in John chapter 3. There are only two divisions in the invisible war. Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me," according to Luke 11:23. You cannot be neutral in this spiritual warfare. You are on one side or the other. Some believers, because of the fear of confrontation with the enemy, try to ignore the war and form a truce with the enemy. They think if they ignore Satan, he will not bother them. This is one of Satan's main strategies. He tries to render members of God's army immobile by their terror of his tactics. But there is no neutrality in this war. You're either a victim or a victor. The spiritual call to arms is going out. Are you on the side of good or evil? Are you a part of Satan's kingdom or the kingdom of God? To which kingdom do you belong? Are you a victim or a victor in the invisible war? So go ahead and do your chapter self-test and join me in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.